Lesson 6. How it feels when parents divorce. Text. Ari, age 14. When my parents were married, I hardly ever saw my dad because he was always busy working. Now that they're divorced, I've gotten to know him more because I'm with him every weekend. And I really look forward to the weekends because it's kind of like a break. It's like going to Disneyland, because there's no set schedule. No, be home by 5:30 kind of stuff. It's open. It's free. And my father's always buying me presents. My mum got remarried and divorced again, so I've gone through 2 divorces so far. And my father's also gotten remarried, to someone I don't get along with all that well. It's all made me feel that people shouldn't get married. They should just live together and make their own agreement. Then, if things get bad, they don't have to get divorced and hire lawyers and sue each other. And, even more important, they don't have to end up hating each other. I'd say that the worst part of the divorce is the money problem. It's been hard on my mum because lots of times she can't pay her bills, and it makes her angry when I stay with my father and he buys me things. She gets mad and says things like, "If he can buy you things like this, then he should be able to pay me." And I feel caught in the middle for 2 reasons. First, I can't really enjoy whatever my dad does get for me. And second, I don't know who to believe. My dad's saying, "I don't really owe her any money." And my mum's saying he does. Sometimes I fight for my mum and sometimes I fight for my dad. But I wish they'd leave me out of it completely. In a lot of ways, I wish my mum would get remarried, because then she wouldn't have to worry so much about finances. But I'm sorry that my dad got remarried, because I feel left out a lot of times. And one thing I really worry about is that I think they want to have a baby. And I know that if they do, it will be just like a replacement for me. That's because I only see my dad on weekends. And since he would see the baby more than he'd see me, he'd probably grow to like it more than he likes me. It could be a lot like what happened with my dog Spunker. I've had him for about 6 years, and I've always said I'll never love any dog as much as I love him. Well, a year ago, I picked up a little black Labrador puppy from the pound, and now I find I'm not as friendly with Spunker as I used to be. And I think Spunker feels jealous, just like I would if my dad and my stepmother had a baby. My dad said it wouldn't be that way, that we'd be a whole family, and I'd have a little brother or sister, which would be a lot of fun. But I told him, "Look, by the time the kid is old enough to talk, I'll be out of college. I'm not going to have anything to do with a baby. You know that it's just a replacement for me." If I lived full-time with my dad, it would probably be easier for me to accept a baby because we'd be on equal footing. But I'd rather stay with my mum, where life is normal, where we live like most people live, with breakfast at breakfast time and dinner at dinner time. I do my homework, play with my friends. It's all the way life should be. If I lived with my dad, it might be more fun at times, but I would go crazy. I wouldn't want to be brought up that way. Text B. Sarah, age 12. I guess the main reason I was mad at Daddy was because it all made my mother so unhappy, and I ended up feeling sorry for both of them. My mother because she was struggling to make ends meet, and my dad because he couldn't really do much about it. Even though my parents separated more than 3 years ago, it's still very vivid in my mind, and I doubt if I'll ever forget the way I felt at the time. Yet, as awful as it was, I never hoped they'd get back together, and now I think I'd die if they did, because it would be so awkward for me. I think they're both much happier now, and it's obvious to me that they both lead totally different lives. Since the breakup, I've been able to see my parents' true colors, especially my mother's. I've seen a side of her that I never saw before. When she was married, she and Daddy were the perfect couple, always quiet, talking about dignified things, and they would never laugh or anything. Nowadays, my mother is always happy and gay. Another way she's changed is that she always used to hide her problems from me, but now she's more apt to discuss things. I think she's more relaxed, and so's my dad. Both of my parents started dating other people right away, and I think they'll both get remarried eventually, which is fine with me. They don't discuss their love lives with me all that much, but of course, I'm not blind. For example, one night I had a sleepover at a friend's house, and the next morning I came home earlier than I'd planned to. Well, I just stormed into my mother's bedroom, and there was this guy in her bed. She was somewhere else, in another room. I started crying and everything, and my mother tried to convince me she had slept on the couch. Now that I look back, it was pretty hilarious, and of course I don't care. I mean, I understand about those kinds of arrangements. In the beginning, when my father had a girlfriend sleep over, he didn't know how to tell me. He just sort of said, "Oh, you're sleeping on the couch tonight," because at that point I didn't have my own room at his house and shared the bedroom. It's still hard for my dad to level with me about this part of his life, but he's getting better. Anyhow, neither of them should worry about my getting upset, because I'm old enough to understand that grown-ups are allowed to have private lives, which includes other people. But if someone's going to spend the night, I think it's better and less awkward if I know about it beforehand, so I'm not taken by surprise. I still want to get married and have kids, but I have a lot of friends who don't want to. I was discussing marriage with one boy I know, and he said, "I'm never ever getting married." He took his parents' divorce really badly because his mother and father weren't friends afterwards. They were enemies, screaming on the phone to each other. I'm glad my parents are good friends, having lunch together and stuff. I think it's so much easier for the child if the parents are friendly. If they aren't, it's really difficult because there's always a right side and a wrong side, and the kids are just caught in the middle. I think I've grown up a little faster because of my parents' divorce. It's made me realize more about the problems of life and helped me to understand my parents and appreciate them as individuals. It's just too bad they couldn't have been as happy and productive as a couple as they've been since they've been on their own. And I also wish that the next time my mother has tickets for a Rolling Stones concert, she takes me instead of her boyfriend, which is what she did the last time. Additional information. So we have to switch back and forth. Doing it on a weekly basis seems to work the best. I'll try to make one room my real room and have the other one like camping out. I can't buy two of everything, so I might as well have one good room that's really mine. Another aspect of joint custody that's difficult is that my parents have very different rules and philosophies about life. For example, my dad's attitude is that he lets us learn by our mistakes, and my mother does exactly the opposite. She tells us how to act before we make the mistake, and my dad says we can watch TV for a while after school, and my mum says we can't, that we have to select our programs very carefully. At my dad's house, Matthew has to do his homework right away, but he gets to stay up until 9 and watch the A-Team, because that's his favorite show. Mum doesn't want him to when we're at her house, but she feels she has to give in because Matthew says, "Well, Daddy lets me do that as his house." He's learning to play them against each other at a very early age. I don't do that, but I have to admit there are times when I secretly wish I was at whichever house I'm not at. It would be nice if there could be a special house for divorced families. It would be like two houses, side by side, with a place in the middle where the kids could live. Then, when parents had arguments, they could each go to their own place and get away from each other and think things out by themselves. That way, they could realize how dumb they were behaving and get back together again. I know it's too late for that kind of arrangement with my parents, and as I look back, I see that they're both happier being apart. My father's become a different person, you know. It's unbelievable. I like the person he is now because he doesn't get angry as fast as he used to. And my mother's much happier because she doesn't have to worry about getting Daddy mad. Another good thing that's happened is that my father's turned into a terrific cook, and it makes me feel proud to be one of the only people in my class whose father cooks and does things like taking me to hockey practice and to sewing. And it's great to see how my mum doesn't have to rely on Daddy to pay the bills and throw out the garbage. She's working now, and that's helped her feel important. Neither of them has to rely on the other one in dumb ways, the way they used to, and I think they're both much better off as a result. I know that neither of them will ever be able to forget all the anger, but I think that as time goes on, they'll sort of come to see their senses and be pretty good friends. That's what I hope for, more than anything in the world. Lesson 7. Going Shopping. Text A. Gretel and Mrs. Clark went shopping in the centre of London yesterday. I'd like to know which store you like best in London, Mrs. Clark, Gretel said. Now that's a difficult question, Mrs. Clark replied. I just haven't any idea which store I like best. There are so many huge stores in London. I suppose Selfridge's must be the biggest. There's so much variety there. I can usually find what I'm looking for. Then there's Liberty's. It's such a lovely building. Harrods is very famous too. It's such a smart store. I love all the big stores in London because you can walk round and nobody bothers you. Nobody tries to sell you anything, unless you want to buy something. Sometimes I go window shopping, or just wander round a store and look at the things on display. The big stores are one of the sights of London. I went to the sales in January. That was one of the sights of London, too. My goodness, the crowds! But it was worth it. I bought some lovely things very cheaply. It was good fun, but very exhausting. Text B. As she walked around the huge department store, Edith reflected how difficult it was to choose a suitable Christmas present for her father. She wished that he was as easy to please as her mother, who was always delighted with perfume. Besides, shopping at this time of the year was a most disagreeable experience. People trod on your toes, poked you with their elbows, and almost knocked you over in their haste to get to a bargain ahead of you. Partly to have a rest, Edith paused in front of a counter where some attractive ties were on display. "They are real silk," the assistant assured her, trying to tempt her. "Worth double the price." But Edith knew from past experience that her choice of ties hardly ever pleased her father. She moved on reluctantly, and then, quite by chance, stopped where a small crowd of men had gathered round a counter. She found some good quality pipes on sale, and the prices were very reasonable. Edith did not hesitate for long. Although her father only smoked a pipe occasionally, she knew that this was a present which was bound to please him. When she got home, with her small but well-chosen present concealed in her handbag, her parents were already at table having supper. Her mother was in especially cheerful mood. "Your father has at last decided to stop smoking," she informed her daughter.
Additional information. 1. "Yes, madam. Can I help you?" "Oh, yes, please. But you're just closing, aren't you?" "Well, yes, we are, madam. The shop shuts in 5 minutes. "I shan't keep you long, then. It was about some saucepans you had in your window last week." "Last week, madam? I really can't remember which ones you mean. What were they like?" "Oh, they were lovely. Sort of imitation wood. Dark brown colour. Country style. You know. And the lids, if I remember rightly, had a sort of leaf pattern. Or was it flowers?" "That's strange. I don't recognise any of the ones we had from that description. Are you sure they were in this shop?" "Oh, you must know the ones I mean. They were in a sale. A real bargain. Reduced to a quarter of the original price. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw them. I'm afraid the sales are over now, madam, and I know we sold out of all the saucepans." "I don't think you did, you know. At least, my neighbour, Mrs. Cliff, told me she saw some here only yesterday. Well, it's all new stock in the window now. May I just have a look to see if there's anything else?" Well, madam, as you know, we were just closing." "Yes, yes, I'm sorry, I won't keep you. It must get on your nerves when customers come in on closing time. But they were such beautiful saucepans. I'd have bought them then, if only I'd made up my mind on the spot. Perhaps, madam, if you came back tomorrow, I could show you all we have in our range of kitchenware. And there are still one or two things at sale price. Oh, look, that one there. That's the sort of thing I was looking for. But it's not quite the right colour. That might be the artificial lighting, madam. Of course, if you came back in daylight, you might find it's exactly what you're looking for. There it is. That's the pattern. The set behind you. Thank goodness they haven't been sold. And thank you so much for being so patient with me. Yes, those are the ones."
2. Shops. Most shops in Britain open at 9 a.m. and close at 5 or 5:30 in the evening. Small shops usually close for an hour at lunchtime. On one or two days a week, usually Thursday and/or Friday, some large food shops stay open until 8 p.m. for late-night shopping. Many shops are closed in the afternoon on one day a week. The day is usually Wednesday or Thursday, and it is a different day in different towns. Nearly all shops are closed on Sundays. Newspaper shops are open in the morning and sell sweets and cigarettes as well. But there are legal restrictions on selling many things on Sundays. In general, overseas visitors don't have much difficulty knowing where to buy things. Most shops sell the things that you would expect them to. One problem is stamps. In Britain, you can only buy these at post offices. Many large food shops, supermarkets, are self-service. When you go into one of these shops, you take a basket and you put the things you wish to buy into this. You queue up at the cash desk and pay for everything just before you leave. If anyone tries to take things from a shop without paying, they are almost certain to be caught. Most shops have store detectives who have the job of catching shoplifters. Shoplifting is considered a serious crime by the police and the courts. When you are waiting to be served in a shop, it is important to wait your turn. It is important not to try to be served before people who arrived before you. Many people from overseas are astonished at the British habit of queuing. Lesson 8. What to do about Grandma. Text A. Hal Bowman, his wife Judy, and their three children live in a small apartment. Hal works in the income tax division of the government, where he is a public information officer. Their children are now 12, 10, and 5 years old. Their plan is for Judy to return to work after their youngest child starts elementary school next year. They hope to save up enough money to buy a house, since they feel their present two-bedroom apartment is much too crowded. Last week, however, Judy's father died suddenly of a heart attack. They now have to decide what to do about Judy's mother, since Judy is the only child. Judy's father was the manager of a store in a large supermarket chain, so her mother will receive a modest but sufficient pension from the company. In addition, she will receive the money from her husband's life insurance and will continue to receive social welfare benefits from the government. In order to avoid inheritance taxes, her husband, in his will, left his estate to Judy with the provision that his wife would have use of it as long as she lived. Judy realizes that it would probably be dangerous for her mother to live alone. Although her health is basically good for someone her age, 73, she has bad days when her heart or arthritis acts up. Judy is afraid she might have trouble taking care of herself now that she is alone. She is living in the house that she and her husband owned, a three-bedroom house in the suburbs of the same city where Hal and Judy live. Hal and Judy's mother never got along well in the past, but Hal realizes that Judy is worried about her mother. Text B. The huge population of China is indeed a very serious problem. The government has made great efforts to control the birth rate in recent years. But the workers encountered strong resistance, especially in rural areas where both economy and culture are still very backward, resulting in the birth rate rising again. Many people blame this on the feudal tradition that it was good to have more children to have more working hands. However, this is only half the story. In the countryside, there are no pensions and no free medical care for the aged. Many young couples are afraid that once they are old, there will be nobody to care for them, so they want a son who can tend them all their lives. If we raise more funds for the elderly in rural areas and build more sanatoriums and other institutions for them, the farmers can put their minds at rest. The majority of young couples nowadays are well educated, even in the poverty-stricken areas. Although the feudal influence is strong, they can understand the importance of family planning. What worries them most is their own old age. Additional information. Many suicides reported on Respect for Aged Day. Tragic suicides by aged persons were reported from across the country on Monday when the nation celebrated Respect for the Aged Day, a national holiday. In the city of A 76-year-old woman was found to have hanged herself in her room at about 2 a.m., her grandson reported to police. The woman had been suffering from tuberculosis and hardening of the arteries, in addition to the loss of eyesight, the grandson told police. In the city of A neighbor visited a 78-year-old man's home at 9 a.m. to find that he had gassed himself. The man had lived alone on a pension since 1961 when his wife died. A farmer reported to police that his 68-year-old wife hanged herself in a shed Monday afternoon. The woman, Mrs., was worried about her frail health and had often talked of loneliness in old age, according to the husband. A person fishing in the sea off the city of found the body of an aged woman drifting at 10:20 a.m. Monday. Police later identified the body as that of 92, of, who had been missing since Friday. Her family members believed that she was overwhelmed by pessimism because she was unable to receive a pension from the city office due to some flaw in her papers on Wednesday. A 66-year-old woman hanged herself in a room in her house in, while her daughter-in-law was in another room. The daughter-in-law, Mrs., told police that her mother-in-law had been almost bedridden since 1973. Lesson 9. Why is the world so tough to her? Text A. What's the matter?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. It's something. What is it?
It's just life. It's so boring.
Oh, it's not so bad. You've got Daniel.
But he's only a baby. It's all right for you. You'll leave the house in 5 minutes. I'll be here all day. When will you come home? You won't come home till 7.
One of us must go to work, dear.
Yes, but your day will be interesting. My day will be the same as every day.
My work isn't always interesting.
I know, but you travel around. You meet different people, and you do different things. Who will I meet today? What'll I do? Eh? I'll wash up, feed the baby, do the washing, clean the house, bath the baby, take the dog for a walk.
But, dear...
Then I'll go to the supermarket, prepare dinner, meet you at the station, have dinner, wash up again.
But, dear...
I'll feed the baby again, put the baby to bed. What a life! Today, tomorrow, this week, next month, next year, forever!
It's just Monday, dear. You'll be okay later.
Will I?
Text B. Today my cousin paid us a visit. She is a technician working in an electronics factory. She has been very unhappy recently because of a quarrel with her boss. It all started when she was denied a chance to go abroad for a training course. By qualification, she was the ideal choice, a college degree, a working knowledge of English, and generally acknowledged as very good in her field. But the final choice fell on a young man inferior to her in every respect. Naturally, she was very upset and wanted to know why. Her boss, who in fact quite liked her, told her quite candidly, "We did think of sending you, but decided against it, because you are a girl." The answer infuriated her all the more, and she accused him of sex discrimination. The best explanation she could get out of him was that it would not be convenient for a girl to be on her own in a foreign country, as there was only one vacancy. Not convenient for whom? For herself. She didn't mind. For her fellow trainees? That's sheer nonsense. For her boss? How and in what way? Poor girl. I quite sympathize with her. But that women are at a disadvantage is a reality she'll have to face. I told her that our form master was telling us only the other day that girls shouldn't aim too high in choosing their future specialty or choosing a university. Certain subjects and certain departments are almost closed to them. They'll have to have 10 or more marks than the boys in order to be accepted. And it's not only the colleges and universities, Mum explained with anger. All organizations and work units are equally bad in sex discrimination when taking in new employees. One's sex is more important than one's other qualities, it seems. Some departments take in women just as if they are forced to buy some inferior goods. The bargaining that goes on just makes me sick. You want to buy a carton of high-grade cigarettes? Very well. You must buy 3 packs of the cheap brand as well. So, if you want to assign one girl to our department, you must give us 2 boys as well. It's really disgusting. I don't blame them, really, said Dad. However good a girl is, when she marries, trouble begins. First, there is this long maternity leave. Then there'll be constant leave because there will always be this or that wrong with her darling baby. Even when she works, she will be constantly thinking of her darling child or knitting for him or her. And she becomes petty, too, breaking into tears at the slightest provocation and quarrelling with others over trifles. This naturally brought a barrage of protests and condemnations from the 2 women in the room who almost tore him to pieces. In the end, it was Granny who came to his rescue. "Well, a woman's place is at home, as I always say. And what do you want to go abroad for, child? Think of all the dangers. How can girls cope with them? I think your leaders were quite right in not letting you go." "Oh, Granny, you don't know anything at all. You are still living in the old world. It seems our future lies in the future generation," my cousin said pointedly to Dad, referring to me. "Actually, she's only 10 years older than me." Equality of the sexes is certainly a very complicated problem. Just having equal rights to vote and equal pay for equal work have not solved the problem, not by a long shot.
听力课堂，欢迎你。
听力课堂，欢迎你。
听啊，讲啊。